Hey guys, it's Milan Lucic, and you're watching the It's Content podcast.
I can tell who's on the way out. 25 show, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out.
All right, we're here. It's Content Podcast. We got a special guest today. Very special guest. My guy, Milan Lucic. Thanks for coming. Let's give a little round of applause here for Lucic. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thanks appreciate for having
it.
Me, guys.
I appreciate it. I was just saying to you off the camera, I'm like, I feel like you've been doing a little bit of a little media scrum the last month. I mean, with the Bruins coverage, I saw you on Chicklets, Kev's podcast, Dan and Ninko, which, you know, friends of ours. So how's that been for you, the media stuff?
It's been great. It's been a lot. I've been having fun with it. Obviously it's not, you know, it's been really exciting for me to come back and, just talk to a lot of people about what it's like to be back and all that type of stuff. You know, it's been 8 years.
Crazy.
And 8 years, you know, it's a long time.
So you were here for eight, then left for eight?
I was here for eight, left for eight, and now I'm back. So it's cool doing different ones. Like you said, sure. Dan and Ninko, doing that one, you know, not a hockey based one.
Yeah, different
was pretty cool. And doing the one with Kev, mm-hmm. No Limits. That was pretty cool too. Just talking about Boston and mm-hmm. what it was like coming here as a 19-year-old and all that type of stuff. 19. So yeah, it's cool being back here. You know, it's cool being back in North End.
Yeah,
here we are in Aria.
Sure.
Our good buddy Moss.
You came here at 19. What year was that? 08?
07.
Damn.
07, 08. Yeah. 07.
Damn,
so,
yeah.
Hey, and what was really dope about that. So I came here in 07. And to be honest, I didn't really know much about the city of Boston. You know, being a kid from Vancouver out west, I didn't know much about the history, what Boston was all about. And, you know, I've always been a sports fan. Fan of all sports. So I get here in 07 and, you know, the Patriots come out, you know, first year with Randy Moss.
Damn.
Moss. Yeah, starting off that season the way that they are. Then we head into October. The Kevin Red Sox are in their 07 run. And actually the first two games Red Sox I went to as a Bruin was the ALCS against Cleveland.
Damn.
Six and seven. And it was it JD Drew?
Yes,
he hit that grand slam in the bottom of the second.
So they won it. They won it that year.
They won it.
The
Celtics won the Rockies.
And then the Celtics won the
Kevin
next year,
Garnett,
right?
You got Kevin Garnett here. Yeah, and
KG and Ray Allen and all that type of stuff. So it was a pretty crazy year to be a rookie here.
Yeah, and then the Pats, like I said, the 16-0.
That's prime time.
A lot of pressure on the Bruins there, huh?
Oh, man. We were like, they were all here.
Yeah, we were here. That was an interesting time.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Because Bergeron came in, what, like 05, 06?
He was 03-04.
Oh, so even early. And then Chara came here around like 06-07.
Mark Savard, you know Mark Savard?
Yeah, he was there at that point?
Yeah, Z and Savvy came the same year in 06.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually my first year, Bergie 10 games in got hit from behind.
Philadelphia?
Yeah, he had that major concussion and missed 72 games. So there was a lot of, you know, a lot of changes, a lot of crazy things going on. It was Claude's first year as a coach.
Crazy.
So a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. So I wanted to start before we get into everything else. I want to hit a few things, but like kind of how you grew up and like obviously the differences between Boston and where you grew up.
Well,
you grew up in Vancouver, correct?
Yeah. Born and raised in Vancouver. It's funny because, like I said, I didn't know much about Boston before. And then coming here, you come from a city like Vancouver. It's a newer city.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when you grow up there and that's all you know, you don't really know much about a city that has history mm-hmm. that this type of city has. Like we got no brick,
right?
Cobblestone streets and all that type of stuff. So yeah, it was, Freedom Trail and all that type mm-hmm. of stuff. And, one of the cool things that we did in development camp when I came here as a young Bruin is, they put us on a duck tour and, you know, they showed us where Sam Adams was buried.
Damn,
and you're going to just see all the tombstones there.
Yeah, yeah.
The tombstones are older than the city of Vancouver.
Really?
You know what I'm crazy. Trying to say? So
I'm surprised they don't do stuff like that with like teams. Like you said, they would just take you on the duck boat to show you guys around. Like, I feel like that's good for the team.
No, it is good. I mean, you get guys, like you said, who have never seen Boston before. You don't know anything about Boston. It introduces you to the city. Do they still do stuff like that? Do you know for rookies or?
I'm not 100% sure if they're still taking guys out on duck tours, but But yeah, I even remember when I got drafted, and lucky for me, the draft that year in 06 was in Vancouver.
Yep.
And
you got drafted in your hometown.
Yeah, I got drafted in my hometown. And when Boston picked me, I was like, oh, I was like, I had to go on a map to actually even know
where it was,
where Boston was. But yeah.
Damn, so that's crazy. So you got drafted here and then drafted there and you won a cup there.
Yeah. So a lot of cool things happened to me in my hometown. And
that's crazy.
And even before I made the NHL, I won for us in the CHL, and I was playing in the WHL. So we have what's called the Memorial Cup.
Yep.
So it's like the national championship for, NCAA hockey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we had won that, and we won that in my hometown too. So I won that in my hometown, got drafted in my hometown.
You with the Little Giants, right? Isn't that the team you
were with? No, it was the Vancouver Giants.
The Giants. That was the Little Giants.
No, not Little Giants. Just
from
Giants.
That's a movie. Drafted in Vancouver and then won the cup.
Yeah.
Vancouver.
I mean, because I heard you, like I said, I heard a few of your podcasts recently. You talked about like you needed to fight to like differentiate yourself from everyone else. So with the game, the way it's going now, what's your opinion on kind of the whole trying to minimize fighting in the sport? Like, what's your opinion on that?
Well, I think they're putting a lot more focus on speed and skill, mm-hmm. I think a lot of hockey fans still love and want that aggression. And that's what brings a lot of fans to the game, especially uneducated fans. Mm-hmm. They see guys, oh wow, like these guys got a beef with each other on the ice, and they literally
a lot of people just come to see fights.
Yeah.
You're lucky to see one every five games at this point,
And that's the difference too. Like when I was a rookie, you're going over the team you're playing, their lineup, you could always circle 3-4 guys, a team that were more than willing to go on a night to night basis. Yep. And now, you're lucky to find a team mm-hmm. of guys who are willing to go. And like I said in my previous podcast, and for me, my skills and my skating and all that type of stuff, always got overlooked. So I had to do something to differentiate myself to make the team. And I would use my toughness and my aggression and my fighting to make the teams, and to kind of see that go away, it takes away opportunity for players to achieve their dreams and, make the NHL.
To use that as a tactic to stick out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and to be honest, if I was a 17-year-old today, mm-hmm. I got drafted in the second round because, I was basically more of a fighter than I was a goal scorer. And if I was a 17-year-old today, I don't even know if I would have, first off, even made a junior team like the Giants that we talked about.
Yep.
And second off, I don't even know if I would have even got drafted to an NHL team.
Yeah, for sure.
Because my skills always got overlooked.
Well, I feel like even watching, like, especially the 2011 team, like every few games you would see like a line brawl or something like that. I feel like you don't see any of that anymore. Yeah. Like obviously goalie fights are really weird, but even like with Tim Thomas and Carey Price, the goalie fights, like I feel like if stuff happens like that now, like you're banned from the league. Like that's not like none of that's happening anymore. And the aggression's kind of just like falling out of the game a little bit.
Is it that strict on it though? Like,
I mean, they're not going to ban you from the league, but it's just like you were saying, the play style is just so different now. You.
Yeah, and when you get suspended, it's money, right? You lose, right, you get suspended, you lose pay, right? So guys are now more self-conscious, making a lot more money than guys used to. 100%. So, you're hurting your own wallet.
No, for sure.
If you're doing something stupid. So that's, I guess it's a way for them to police the game.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, the players need to police the game
in the game.
So it's good to keep guys, on their toes. And I also feel like it takes cheap shots down, mm-hmm. because if I'm going to be a dirty player and do cheap shit on the ice, and then I know that, okay, a guy's going to come at me, then I'm going to second guess whether I'm going to, if I'm going to take a cheap shot on a guy on the other team. So it's just, there's a lot of, there's a lot of debate with it. But I just hope that, that there was always a place for it in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Tom, I think you should have started fighting in college, and then maybe you could have.
I was a goalie. I was a goalie.
Well, you brought up Tim Thomas. But you know what? That's one thing that you remember. And that's one thing that I think a lot of Bruins fans remember about that season.
You know what I remember?
Was that line brawl and you know, all that type of stuff.
Well, no, I remember Ryan Miller getting buried.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Well, actually, you know what's funny? You bring that up because I was going to actually segue to my next question. Paul Gostad, you fought when you came back, and because you played them again like a few days later or something, or maybe a week later, a couple weeks later. I remember they were showing him pregame, like getting mentally prepared, like all this shit. Like I remember they showed him like in the empty rink, like whatever. Then you guys fought. Did you have to do any of that? Or were you kind of just like, during the game, I'm going to find someone to fight? Or did you really prepare to go fight someone before a game?
You know what? And I'll give him credit. You know, he was doing that to stick up for his goalie and their best player.
Yep.
So you got to give him, you know, you got to give him credit for stepping up and doing that. But for me, to be honest, and I was just preparing like any other game I knew someone was going to come at me, but you know what? I didn't have anxiety about it. I wasn't one of those guys throwing up before the game because I'm going to have to fight that night. It's because, you know, the way I was in junior, my 3 years of junior, I fought 58 times in 3 years. In three seasons, I fought 58 times. Damn. So my preparation has always been, okay, I'm preparing like I'm going to fight almost every single game. So my preparation for that game was the same as it was every single game.
No, that's true. It's like, it was almost like it just like your second nature, right? Like
exactly.
You did it so many times that it was just like, not a big deal getting punched
in the face a few times. Right. Yeah, bring it. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the cup run, obviously the most, cause I grew up in East Boston. We both grew up in East Boston together. I played hockey my whole life. So I was telling him, like, watching you guys play and watching you specifically play, like I was a defenseman when I was like 8 to 12 years old and I switched to goalie, but like I would literally go out like trying to hit people and like squirt to people just because watching like the way you guys played and the way you won games and the physicality. So just growing up and talking to you is like kind of full circle moment, but with that 2011 team, I feel like the physicality and the aggressiveness almost took you guys to the cup, especially when you played Vancouver. So can you speak on a little bit about the team's identity then and like I guess the chemistry of the team?
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that you know, when Peter Chiarelli took over as GM, and also, you know, then they hired in 07, they hired Cam Neely to come in as vice president, and then, you know, hiring Claude as the head coach in 07. I think that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to build, you know, an identity of you know what the Bruins, you know, stand for again. And you know, they wanted to kind of bring that big and bad back to the, you know, back to Boston. And, you know, that's certainly something that they did. And I think it started with Chara, you know, bringing him in. And then, you know, they drafted me, they signed Sean Thornton. And then, you know, they traded for McQuaid, they traded for Boychuk, they traded for Horton and Campbell.
Was Sagan a rookie that year? Or no?
Sagan was a rookie that year, and all that type of stuff. And then, you know, just all the pieces, you know, fell into place. And, you know, even Seidenberg, and, you know, we were even guys like Ferentz, you know, even though he was a little guy, but man, he was probably one of the meanest guys in front of the net on our team. Sure. And, you know, that was our identity, was being a really hard team to play against because of our size. And, you know, I don't want to say we tried to bully teams, but we, you know, we kind of tried.
What about the Sedin twins? They got bullied in that series bad. Henrik and Daniel, they were good players, but you guys really like took over that whole series.
Yeah. And it was the intimidation factor, right? Yeah. You know, it was the intimidation factor. And what was also intimidating is that teams knew that we were a close group and that everybody had everyone's back. And, and you talk about line brawls and all that type of stuff. I think we had 3 line brawls that season. You know,
and then
all that type of stuff. And then we had that one game in, I think it was February, where we played against Dallas.
I was just going to bring that game up.
There was 3 fights.
Sean Avery and Steve Ott.
There was 3 fights off the opening draw.
Crazy.
And then there was another fight in the second period and we kicked the shit out of Dallas.
McQuaid fucking like knocked some dude out. One punch. It was crazy. But
that was, you know, that was a part of our identity that, you know, we could play any way the other team wanted to play. We could beat you on the scoreboard. You know, we had the best goalies with Timmy and Tuukka.
Crazy to think Tuukka was a backup goalie. Yeah, that's crazy.
That was the crazy part too is, you know, I remember you'd go 3-4 days in practice sometimes without scoring a goal because you had Timmy at his best and you had Tuukka on the other side.
On his way up.
And you're like, fuck, I can't even score a goal in practice. Like, how am I supposed to feel good about myself going into a game? But yeah, we were just a close group. Big, heavy, strong teams. We would wear other teams down by, you know, by our physicality. Yep. And we didn't let, you know, we weren't going to allow other teams get to our goalie and get to our net. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And you saw in the Vancouver series, you know, they were a more skilled team, you know, heading into that series and probably had more momentum than we did, but we were able to wear them down because of our size.
Well, I know everyone was picking Vancouver.
It was 2-9, right? It was 2-0.
Yeah, so it was 2-0.
That's what I was going to bring up. Like when the 2-0 hit and then you guys were back home and it was almost like that Aaron Rome hit on Horton. Right when that happened, it was almost like everything kind of changed for you guys. Well, seems like
the round before was, well, Maple Leafs, right? They came back.
That was a different.
Yeah. That was 2013.
Was it Martin St. Louis?
Vincent LeCavier. Yeah.
Those guys. And those guys gave us a hard push. And I think, like, those guys got us ready for Vancouver. And then, like you said, after the Nathan Horton hit,
it was almost like the momentum shifted.
Yeah, it was like it shifted our way. And then the first shift of the second period, Ferentz scored a goal. And then, you know, we were able to roll after that.
What about the middle finger? Remember the Ferentz middle finger against Montreal? Do you remember that?
I do.
That's a rivalry that kind of died down. Those games were, I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, you're glued to your TV watching those games, you know? But to kind of see it, I guess, stray away a little bit sucks. But I mean, like you said, that's kind of the way the game's going at this point.
So we got your first game done back in Boston.
Yeah. So how was your first couple of games?
How's the energy feeling, Nick? I feel like there's a big Brady curse going around in Boston.
That's what he keeps saying, the Brady curse. Ever since Brady won, we can't get a championship.
It's looking scary, buddy.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, with what's happened the last couple of years in the playoffs and all that type of stuff. But even the Celtics last year, one win away of getting to the final.
Two game sevens at the Garden.
Yeah.
Damn, man. Bruins and Celtics.
Both losing to, you know, Florida teams.
And then the Pats are looking good this year, at least. Right?
Yeah, they're pretty good, yeah.
But yeah, you know what?
Anyway.
but you know what? Coming back, that first game, obviously, you know, I was excited for it. I was, you know, a little nervous about it. But I think I give the Bruins full credit. They did a great job with the ceremony before the game, introducing all the, you know, retired guys, bringing guys from the 2011 team, bringing guys, you know, from the 72 and 70 team that, you know, their numbers aren't retired. So, you know, just honoring, you know, all the generations of the Bruins over the 100 years. And then, you know, for myself, you know, I was really looking kind of forward to, you know, my introduction, you know, first game back in Boston after
the arena must have erupted, right?
It was one of the loudest cheers of the night. And it was, you know, it was really cool and, you know, it was really heartfelt and, you know, it's, you know, my gratitude to the fans in the city, you know, couldn't have been, you know, any higher. So
I feel like we needed it.
We do. I mean, that's kind of something I was going to reflect on too, was obviously we had Bergeron last year, we had that veteran presence, but as far as like, because you're much more than just an enforcer, but like having that presence there and that leadership, I feel like we haven't had that kind of like toughness to
us.
I thought
it was going to happen last year at the deadline.
I mean, we fucking had the best record in hockey last year. I mean, I think everyone thought, oh, you thought we were going to get someone, you're saying.
I thought he was coming at the deadline.
Yeah. Were there any talks last year?
I heard rumbles about it, but unfortunately it didn't happen. Obviously, I would have loved to have been here.
Well, we got you this year, so that's all that matters.
Well, especially last year with a whole historic season, you know.
What a heartbreak.
Yeah, I felt like I, you know, probably could have helped in, especially in that series against Florida. But, you know, that's, you know, it didn't happen. And, you know, you can't dwell on the past.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you look back at that series, you know, they're one goal away of moving on. You know, if they win that series, you know, they probably do go all the way, you know. And you know, if Marshy scores that goal on the breakaway at the end of game five, and sometimes that's all it takes. You talk about the Nathan Horton hit
momentum
and it's shifted for us, and then, you know, the save that Bobrovsky made on Marshy
turned into game five, Patrick Waugh.
And then all of a sudden no one could score on him until they faced the Golden Knights in the final.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, it's just a moment that shifts everything. And, you know, that's kind of what happens. But yeah, for me coming back, that's one of the things I talked about, you know, with management and the coaches is, you know, kind of the opportunity of stepping into that leadership role and all that type of stuff, because it's hard to replace a guy like Berge. It's hard to replace a guy like Krejci. Definitely. It's also hard to replace a guy like Foligno, who, you know, who was a captain on the Blue Jackets. So he knows he has leadership qualities about him. So, you know, just bringing in, you know, veteran guys like myself and Shattenkirk and JVR, you know, just trying to, you know, help
Shattenkirk. I feel like I have Shattenkirk.
BU guy, you know, 09 champ with BU.
Yeah.
That's so, awesome, you know. Just bringing us in, you know, just trying to fill in the void of those guys and you know, help Marshy now with being the captain.
Marshy's a captain. I wasn't surprised, but see where he came from to where he is now. Like, I vividly remember the Vancouver series when he fucking hip checked one Sedin and then he that whole thing, just going from that to like where he is now is so
what year was he in during 2011?
It was only like was it his rookie year?
That was his rookie year. Yeah.
Wow, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's his rookie year. And you know what?
That's crazy.
Him not growing into the player that he had that season, you know, we probably don't even get there. Yeah. And then, you know, who would have said at the start of the year, you know, Brad Marchand would have had 11 goals in that playoff run, and he scored five in the finals.
Yeah,
you know,
that's insane.
He scored five goals and big goals for us in the final. So, you know, the evolution of him, not just in that year, but his evolution as a player in the and a person over the last 15 years has been really awesome to see. And now he's got a C on his sweater. So he's done a great job in becoming the player and the leader that he's become.
Yeah, no, as a fan watching that series, I just remember, because like I said, I'm a diehard Boston fan, hockey player with my friends. Like, I remember once Bergeron got that goal in Game 7, right in the first period, it was like you kind of knew, you didn't want to say, and then you see shows you guys when it's 3-0 jumping up and down on the bench or 4-0.
Yeah.
And like, there was like no feeling. Went to the parade. The parade was fucking insane. So I wanted, before we get off the 2011, I wanted to talk like, well, what was it like winning in your hometown and then the parade and all that, taking through the whole experience of winning the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, you know, for anyone, you know, you played hockey, like you said, you know, it's, you don't dream of anything.
You're playing street hockey by yourself.
Yeah, you play street hockey and you've won the Stanley Cup in your back alley a million times. But
Jeffrey's point.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? To experience that, it's a dream come true. You know, you've always thought about it as a kid and always hoped that you would be able to experience that once in your life. And then for me to be able to do it in my hometown,
right?
You know, just added to it. And one of the cool things too was all the fans that were there at the game. Obviously, they were pissed off because, you know, the Canucks lost, but they all stuck around until it was my turn to raise the cup. And they gave me a hometown cheer. And you know, the whole building erupted when I raised the cup. So
you probably had a shit ton of family and friends there.
I actually only had 8 people there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had my grandparents, my 2 brothers, my mom, my dad. And my girlfriend at the time, who's my wife now. So, they were the, and my uncle, and they were the ones that were there. So yeah, just to be able to experience that with them, obviously on the ice and in the dressing room after, and then,
popping the bottles in the dressing room. That's crazy.
Just the mixture of beer and
well, they champagne. just pouring everything in there.
Anything that we could find, we were just pouring
just
in
like
there.
Champagne, beer, wine.
Yeah, and funny. I remember walking around and there was just like you're walking around in puddles of champagne and beer.
Oh my God, that's crazy. How long were you guys in there celebrating for after?
So the game started at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah. So the game probably ended at what? Around 7:35-ish, 7:40. Yeah, yeah. And then so we were probably on the ice for an hour. Mm-hmm. And then we were probably in the locker room, we were partying until midnight. Wow. And then because of the riots, they kind of kicked us out.
They said we needed
to get the hell out of the city.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't keep the cops and security at the arena. They had to get him going to what was going on, unfortunately. Man. But we were there till midnight. And then, but the, one of the best parts and the coolest parts was a flight home. So because there was no one else other than the players, it was the players, the coaches and the management on the plane. And there was nobody else. and it was just us on the 6 hour plane ride home.
So you're going right from the rink to the airport?
Right from the rink to the airport, right just on the plane.
All everyone's drunk.
And and I remember, yeah, the older like, and then the older guys, Sean Thornton and Mark Recchi.
Yeah,
they told the flight attendants, they're like, you know, fill the plane up with burgers and beers.
Damn.
Because either way, we're going to be drinking because we're miserable that we lost, or we're going to be drinking because we're going to be drinking because we're celebrating. Thankfully we were drinking because we were celebrating, and
every home team won that series too. Every home game was won until that game seven.
Until that game. And then
it's crazy, right?
Yeah. So I think it was me and Matt Barkowski. He was a black ace.
Matt Barkowski.
We were the only two guys that were left standing that didn't sleep at all on that flight home. And then when we landed, the first thing that we did, because my buddy Rob at Boston Barber, he shaved me up the day before game one against Montreal. And I said to him, I'm like, the next time we're going to be shaving this is after we win the cup. So we landed. Nope. I went home and changed. First thing, boom, beelined it right to Boston Barbershop.
Just no sleep. Just no like 10 a.m. drunk still.
Yeah, I kept it going. He's actually got a great picture of me. I'm in the barber chair and I'm holding a Heineken up like this.
That's awesome.
Right before he shaved me down. So it's up there in the barbershop. So yeah, that was how it went down.
You were going out a playoff bid?
Yeah, the playoff beer. Yeah, so I said, we're not going to touch it until after we win the cup. Show, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out. And she gon' let me hit it any day now. What you gonna say now? Of my ex-girl got a bait now. But she still let me stay now. I got a Dallas and a H-Town boo.